I say unto you, greetings, you beauteous entities, and hail unto you this hour. Yeah. Greetings, you beauteous entities, and I say salutations to you. Blessings be upon you this hour. So be that. Greetings and salutations, you beauteous entities. Hail to you who desire to walk with God. So you will. So be that. Let's have a drink. My beloved God, so say I unto you. Indeed, into this hour, open my brain, open my mind, and quicken my receivership. For I say unto you, all that has been said, so shall it manifest for the glory of God within me. So say I, from the Lord God of my being. So be that. And life, to live for 200 years without death. Yeah. To live for 200 years without age, and illness, and sickness, and disability. That is the destiny of becoming a God rather than a human. So be that. To life. You are happy you are here?
Yes.
So do that. Yeah. Yeah. Why come you to this great place? Why are you here? Turn to your partner and tell them the truth, and I am watching you. I want to see why you're here. You may begin. Why didn't you tell your partner why you're here? So I want to say to you, my name is Ramtha, the Enlightened One. This body is borrowed, but so is yours. Yeah. This work is called the great work. For there is no greater labor than to wake up. And we are called the laborers in the fields of God because humanity has forgotten to whom they are, why they're here. And so because of such a lax in memory, then you are perpetuated your own singular lifetimes and increments called reincarnation. But if you believe in reincarnation, as it were, then you ought to already know that the great work is not about what you are as a body, as an image, although the relevance of that becomes important when we learn what the mystery of the soul is, and why everyone should be worried about the soul. The relevance of the great work is to take beliefs that are conjecturous. Superstitions, beliefs handled by a human being under duress, power, and enslavement. And you have created myths about your own possibility and about your own mortality. Myths. And that God is even a myth. That's what grows in a garden without truth. The great work is to remember who you are and to tie in that which is termed concepts of the ages and make them known in this incarnation, and that like a great bird, that you are loosened from this image and have the power and resource within you to come back to your original mission. Make known the unknown. And what did I say? Yeah. What? Make known my diet? I don't think so. The great work, then, is that marvelous incarnation that you start a journey in that life. And it started before this life in a place called bliss on a plane after you died and had a light review. And why would you have to have a light review? It is the works of a God hidden in the body and brain of a human, compelled by the soul to own some value that was started a long, long time ago. And we know that it's a value because you are preordained and indeed destined and compelled by your culture to feel certain emotions right off the bat in your life. Certain hates, certain rejections, certain insecurities, certain privileges that you have already started out your life as an emotional creature. And all emotion is work in progress. Because emotion is when we created it and then we held it. We created it and we had a body that could have a hand that could pick it and a nose that could smell it and be intoxicated by its perfume. And then we said, this is beautiful. This is my creation. And the sensation of smell, the description of its beautiful petal, its lovely stamen, its remarkable characteristics, and its heady perfume on a bright morning. And when we partake of our own creation, we take it from our tactile senses, our eyes, our nose, our taste, our feel, our embrace, and all those things are chemicals released from the brain that cause an ocean of feeling. But then that ocean of feeling comes back up to the brain and is tagged as finished by the Creator. I have created this rose in my mind. I have evolved upon what is, and I have made it more beautiful. More beautiful. There is always room to grow, for God is eternal, and the ongoingness of making known the unknown. We shan't even marvel at the longitude of how long that is. And in that moment that those chemicals are released, the God has experienced his rose. And all of that feeling comes back to that neurological center that was the hologram that started the idea. And when the idea is completed, it's because we have experienced it. Cool, huh? So, look at you. A quagmire of opposites. A quagmire of hypocrisy. Searching to be guided not by your feelings, but by your Holy Spirit, who is the Creator. And so on the plane of bliss, the soul played back your lifetime, last lifetime. Every thought you have is generated, even in the greatest science of studying God. It's called quantum physics and superstring. And it's all about the observer. And dimensions and realities of potential wound up, staging points waiting to become within. So you had to see everything you ever thought, and every deed you ever did. And I will say to you, the repetition of a common thought that is recognizable, that even the common thought lived in suppression, you have done. And it is all played back to you. And who's doing that? Your God. And why is that? Because you're not a victim. You're a creator. So where's the problem here? This is what you haven't owned. And if it is all reaction, and if it is all emotion, and if it is all prejudice and limitation to any quarter, if it is limited in any quarter, it has not been owned. How many of you understand? Indeed, so be that. So, it's so easy now to slip into denial about reincarnation is only a fable of the mind, when suddenly it seems as if in this understanding we are held accountable for our actions. Indeed we are. And what are we held accountable for? We must become them. So all of you here today are of the gender, the culture, the color of your eyes, your skin, your hair, no hair, teeth, no teeth, young, old, mama, papa, crazy, sane, nuts. All of you are exactly what you didn't own before, and the compunction of your own inner judgment and limitation is the path to God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. I couldn't have said it more evenly. And if you have trouble with it, just repeat what I said. You may begin. How many of you understand that evenly? Raise your hands. You understand that the way you are and who were your parents and what culture you're born into is that your DNA is the path to God. It is what you yourself must be redeemed from. Do you understand what I said then? And that's glorious. It's marvelous. So if you're thinking, what an odd teaching, I would say, what is your God? Who's your God? Where did you think you came from? And why were you this person instead of that person? And why are your attributes this? And you think they're in lack, but they're marvelous and beautiful. And why you? And why so much bad luck? And how much more can you handle of yourself? Because you can't get away from yourself. So who made you that way? Mama, Papa? No, Mama, Papa was selected by the soul to give you the environment in which you're going to be reincarnated into, because what you are given back is what you used to be. Can you dig that? Yeah, turn to your neighbor and tell them. Straight away. Entities. That is beautiful teaching to you. No, it doesn't sound like it right away, because humans are chronically to blame for their own victimization. And that creates the culture of power, those who have and those who do not have. And they want to hurry up and get on top of this stinking moment of life so that they feel that if they're on top, everybody will love them, and not everybody can be wrong. But is religion, has it wrong? What we're talking about is an extraordinary aspect to you that you came to learn and is at the heart and indeed the engine of the great work. And the great work is knowing who you are and looking at what you are, all the way from your genetics, your peculiarity in your neural net, your penchant for blame and victimization and bewailing your life, all the way to your greediness and your suppression and your tyranny you have over others. And if you think love is letting people walk all over you, I will tell you what kind of person that is. It's a person who doesn't love themselves and feels they deserve this. That is not how this works. The great work, then, is finding out about this God of mystery and who it is and where should it be. And it is about you. There has never been a temple more beautiful than your body. There has never been a computer or a universe in action greater than your brain. Never. Did you know your brain has more atomic cells in it than your entire solar system does? And its compactness is that it is the computer of some marvelous entity, that which has survived lifetime and death and lifetime and death over and over and over. And those are called the gods. And that be who you are. No human being can do this work. But a God awakened and manifesting through that human being can do marvelous things. They are called Christ. God-man, God-woman realized. How many of you understand that? So be it. So now, this work and this long work here has been a great work and a quietly growing liberation. A liberation all across the board that liberates everyone, and especially those who use religion and indeed who use enlightenment per se as a means to hide behind their own iniquities and indeed their own lack. No diet will ever make you God, mama. So, when the world plays with crystals and vegetarian diets and vitamins and elixirs and taking the salts and taking the baths and wearing garments blessed by this person and that person is only a sign of their own innate ignorance. They don't have the knowledge. When you have the knowledge, you can levitate in my field. When you have the knowledge, you can biolocate like my students are now doing. When you have the knowledge, when you know who and what you are, you'll have the ability to do such remarkable things that in a moment you can heal your body, and I don't care how you've racked it up. Can you understand that? So would you turn to your neighbor and tell them the difference between religion, the difference between spirituality, and the great work, as you see it now? And of course, you may begin any moment. Yeah. So, this school then is about you. It isn't about me. It is about you. And you're the one that is held accountable for your reality and indeed your life and indeed the way you live your life. Now, the mystery is, why are you have the compunction to naturally hate? And why do you have the compunction to naturally judge? And why do you have the compunction to use people? Why do you have the compunction to show yourself with such ignorance without ever being so aware that you paused and said to yourself, why say I this? Why think I this? In a moment, I could change my mind and liberate it. In a moment, I could go from being a miserable, wretched piece of dung from reincarnation to in a moment, I could say in my brain, no, I never want to have to experience this again. I have owned this. I don't want to experience hate, jealousy, envy, and judgment, because I am using my life up. Which brings me to this little topic. Where think you feelings come from? From what you had for breakfast this morning, and what you had last night for dinner. And as long as you want to pretend that you are a human being, you don't function very well without food. Where do you think the feeling of love comes from? Why, Mama, it came from that hamburger you had at lunch today. God bless that hamburger. And where does hate come from? Well, hate comes from that little tiny serving that you thought you had to eat, because that's your spiritual discipline and you are filled with the wrath of resentment. Yeah. Feelings come from your supermarket. Why are you so stunned to know that? Because in order to have a rush, you got to take a drug. And some of you take drugs, poor thing. How impoverished you are that you have never experienced the kingdom of heaven. All food is raw materials that this part of your body has to break down, this entire alchemical factory, break it down to where it is signature molecules that can fit in the brain, that can work the brain, that can fit into the organs. So the moment that you have a feeling of wretchedness, embrace. And that feeling that you say is energy that flows through you is a cascading flow of hormones from your glands, turning on the next level of hormones. There's 7 levels of them. And then by the time it reaches your first seal, you may have a hard on. But where did feelings come from? They came from food. Because all feelings are is a flush of chemistry. So, as a scientist said only recently, that what human beings are is nothing more than a bag of chemicals. Oh dear. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that straight away. You may begin. To truth. How about that loving dinner and romance last evening? Couldn't have had it without that dinner. Praise God. And how about that feeling of well-beingness? Couldn't have had it without your porridge. And when people take drugs, they're trying to find the molecule without the food to fit in those little receptor sites in the brain. so that they artificially have love and that they artificially can grow thin without food and be aware and have energy, destroying their life. Now, this sounds really terrible, but I will tell you, when you start to learn the truth, you're going to have more than one nervous breakdown. And why do you have to have a nervous breakdown? When science says everything I say, and we have a whole library that you may read and enlighten yourself, so you never, never are ignorant again. Why are you going to have so many nervous breakdowns? Because the little world that you made for yourself has been a prison. And this little world in the image indeed has not given you, with all of its resources, the identity of who you are, so small and fractured in the brain, has not given you the identity to work this world any other way than the path you were born to work it. And the idea of the great work is, first, let us bring down the image. And bring down the image says that you are more than your body. And if up to this point you have invested a lot of wealth into your appearance and into the health of your body, you have become more neurotic. Because if your body suddenly gets free of itself, then you have to keep it always cradled up like some wild, beautiful animal. God that you are is transitory. You will learn that this week in your time. You will know who you really are. The concept that we call consciousness and energy, inextricably combined. If that is so, and it is, what is the human being? Well, look at us. Look at us. The body is created as a sensual, tactile, feeling entity. And it harvests from raw material the ability to determine on this plane what it is to smell the rose and have its experience on this plane. But the brain is the most beautiful organ was ever created. And all life, even in the Crab Nebulae and beyond in space, do you really think that beyond in space there are religious temples? There are not. And as far as you go, all human beings are altered due to the wonderful world they live in, that they all have a brain. And the beauty of who they are is legislated on how they use that brain. And who is they that we are talking about? Those holy, holy spirits, that oneness that is now using a body and clicking on a brain that is so made to give us inner holograms, and that we can so create the models of reality just by imagining them in our brain. And if we find that our great architect here is falling short of some inward passion and desire, it is not that you do not have access to this knowledge. The key to expanding the kingdom of heaven is knowledge. For what does it take to read a book on super strings? What does it take to even think about the concept of the observer, that mysterious force in quantum physics, that in the quantum world, all potentials, now listen, may I say it this way? All choices, all lifetimes, all past, all present, all future, it is known they are existing simultaneously. And who is it that picks from this garden of choice, like the rose, and collapses that unfolding potential as a life? Consciousness and energy, baby. It's called God. And can you still do that? Well, yes, you can. Even you? Well, yes, you can. That's called awakening. It was always called awakening. So if your kingdom is falling short, it's because you don't have enough knowledge. And in the lack of pursuing knowledge, you become superstitious. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You may begin. Now, so, am I still spiritual? Really? You have to remember how old I am. I'm old. And I got rhythm before it was even called rhythm. You understand? So, the song is beautiful. It's about your marvelous brain, mama. It's about your ability. And when you fall hard for someone, it's because they can look through your soul. And they live life on their own terms. And they're magic. And just because I dance with you doesn't diminish my power. Can you dig it?
Yeah.
Cool. So.
Te amo, Ram.
Si. Your life then, when we have more knowledge, we can build greater holograms, because you see, all intent starts here first. And what are you addicted to? This or this? What are you addicted to? This or this? The human being is addicted to this, and you're going to die. And as we speak, you've already aged. You're going to the grave. And you know, all of those feelings you thought were so hot. And you know, you were powerful because you knew. You know what the undertaker's going to do with your knowing this? He's going to cut open your veins and pump it right on out of you. Cool. Oh, you don't like that. Terminal emotions. So, this whole outrageous, marvelous, unlimiting and unhinging of our spirit from all modes of limitation and all entrapments is to come to terms with ourselves. For it is we who have to say to ourselves, so, Master, you are telling me that I am preordained to be angry? Yes, indeed, I am saying that. But who ordained that? Ah, you did. But who am I? Well, who would you like to be? In 3 days, you're going to die in a car wreck. Do you like that person? Well, hell no, I don't want to be that person. Well, how about the entity that's going to catch you up the moment of death? You like that entity? Dig that entity. So who are you that's talking this way? So you're saying to me that I have to own what I am preordained, that I am wearing in my flesh? Yes, because the ancient truth says that the truth is closer to you than the hair on your head. And it is so. What is the path of God? Do you think that the path of God was that silly organization of power called religion? And society that organizes people like cattle into a belief system? Take God out of any human being and you can own them. Take away their will, their ability to dream, and you can own them. Just like you can break a horse or you can ride its spirit. What do you want to do? Do you want to have to grow old in your corral? Its eye grow dull. Its ears go back when it sees you. Well, it's just a stupid animal, isn't it? Well, you're just a stupid human being, aren't you? And you want to get on and ride the spirit of a horse as wild. And you're as wild as they are. Well, what is wild? tear my clothes off and run through this place naked with my cellulite flapping in the wind. That isn't wild. Honey, you're so small-minded, Melba. Wild is when you look at yourself and one fine morning you say, you know what? I'm full of dog doo-doo. My opinion is dog doo-doo. Who am I to judge another person who their soul gave them that path? That's their path. Who am I telling them how their path should be? They know who their path should be. Yeah, can you dig it? I hope so. Hello? So, if you're the path, that's probably the most liberating thing you'll ever hear in your life. Other than that you are God, and that God loves you. He loved you into life, baby. And what was the one thing that you didn't do? You have to create, but then you have to experience the creation. And what that means is that you have to have the hologram, the vision. All visions are the brain creates the hologram. And it looks like a vision, but it's really your brain being turned on by your observer. That's what that is. Very clinical, but very right on. None of the trappings of religion. And that hologram turns on, and you don't like the way it looks, you turn on another part of your brain and move it in there and go, yeah, this is cool. All right, we're going to look through that. We're going to focus on that like we do field work. And we're going to create that. How is creation? Is the world static? As long as you agree, as cattle, it's static. And only a few people move the world. Do you know how many choices there are about right where you are in your life? Wait a minute. Do you know how many places you are existing simultaneously right now? In the past, present, and future, all in the right now. How many choices could you possibly make? And how much knowledge could you gain? Indeed, that you could even take the knowledge and form new mansions in your mind. How much do you think you can hold? How long is forever? How many choices do you have? There is no number. Because in evolution, it is an evolving. It is not to collapse to one point, as it were, but it is evolving. Making known the unknown is the garden of God. Can you understand that? And so, your choices. Do you really think that you only have this choice? And you say, well, yes, because this is how I feel, and this is my culture. Indeed, this is my body. Yeah. But that was then. You're coming to school now. You're going to know with knowledge how to learn the discipline to focus beyond your body and create a new life for yourself. And how close are those lives? They are closer than the hair on your head. At this moment, as we speak, you who are poor in spirit, in a moment closer is when you are enriched in it. And you who have suffered shame, you who have suffered shame, have shamed people once upon a time. In one moment, you can own that. That means you already are familiar with who you are and what you are. And the moment that that comes back to the brain, we have a closed system. Neuronet emotions, neuronet emotions. And we say, I'm not going to live another moment when my heart is beating on a program that limited me, that caused me to be ill, that caused me to be hateful and superstitious to other people. I will not live another moment, because if I live that moment, I will see that I will be living it for the rest of my life unless I choose to be different. In a moment, you who are ill, in a moment, will be well. In a moment, a choice can be made to be a new person. a new reality. And what would it take in you to do that? To own quietly the resolve of your own lack, where your soul put you. You're unique. Look at the person sitting next to you. You all share the same four acids in your DNA. And yet, there's nobody that looks the same in the world. But you all share the same DNA. All of you do. And slightly different beside you is a point of view that is slightly different. Unless you are in a brainwashed society. And then everyone has had to learn a mantra. And the mantra is called response mechanism. Are you hearing me? How many of you are hearing me? So, who's going to punish you? You. Can't let that happen. Can't say that emotions are reality. They're only an old, used experience. And as you get older, no matter how much food you eat, your body ends up storing more of it because you can't break it down to use it in chemistry. What did I just say? So what if you don't go to Mass? Who are you letting down? Mary? Jesus? God? Peter? Or Mama? I am telling you, your life belongs to you. And your God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Beginners. You're just going to get my runners from this event. Like a herd of wild horses. So be that. So, some of you don't even have a clue what I just said. Well, that's all right. What I'm going to send to you will have come out of the ordinary, out of the extraordinary, and things are going to happen to you that you say, I swear to God, I wasn't thinking this. No, but I was. By experience, I'll send you a wake-up call. So be it. So, how many of you know more now than you did, what, 3 minutes ago? You do? Hallelujah, brother, mother, and sister. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is in our midst. Yeah? Now, so, in this very moment, as we know time to be, you could stop whining. And we would all be happy for that. In this very moment, you could stop blaming your mother, your father, your friends, Providence. In this very moment, because that was the incarnation of the soul that emotionally needed to be owned. Now, how do you own something when you decide it sucks gas and you're not going to do it anymore? So to demystify God is to take the trappings away of reward and punishment. Did you know the only heaven and hell that really exists are those who believe in it? And since all are sinners and only Christ was perfect, everyone's going to hell, Mama. We create reality. We create reality. And whatever we believe, so it would be done. And in science, it says that whatever picture you put in front of an observer, that from the smallest atomic, subatomic particle forward, that reality is conformed like magic into this whole venue that is formed upon your mind, seeing it is so. You have such a marvelous schooling ahead of you. I tell you, in the great school, of people who are photographed walking on air on our field. And you can see through them. We have people biolocating. We have people that can read any card you put in front of them without ever seeing its other side. We have God's awakening. And why? Because their light is the great work. And is this God? Well, who else would it be? But what is God? It is not Jehovah. And it is not the Brahman, those little bald men. It's not Buddhism. Life is a gift. Do you understand me? Life is a gift. It is not something that you need to shave your head and run to the mountains and sit with a bunch of other cowards and play silly drums and put prayers on wheels and focus on nothing. That's a contrast. How could you become nothing and still want to pray? I don't know. It's making sense to me. And you know, people come to see me, they think I'm arrogant. I am. I know more than you will ever dream to know, Mama. But I earned that. So if you dig your heels in and say, how dare you criticize all these, dare me. I can go on for days upon the brutality and suppression they have put upon every generation. Dare me. So, life is a gift. Your heart that's beating now is beautiful. You are not a sinner. You are not evil in your soul. And don't ever believe any ass that tells you that. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. Ever. You are divine in your soul. You think you came out of your mother's womb. It was your body created by your soul. And you in another realm. This is your destination. This is your new incarnation. This is your work. Yes, we are here to make known the unknown. But first we have to finish the job of some silly little emotion called envy and jealousy. And you know what? When people are envious and jealous, I just have to go on the side rake for a moment. They aren't really green. Green people are really enlightened. White, brown people are really green. So what is jealousy? It is watching someone take an idea and move with it. And they're creating reality. And what is jealousy? When you are so loaded with your emotions, you can't get your ass up. Or your brain ticking and moving fast enough that you too can be inspired by such an entity. You're not inspired. So what do? If you're not going to do it, what is your reaction to be envious of them? Jealousy is the inactivity and participation in a field called genius. Turn your neighbor and tell them that. Now. How many of you understand? Raise your hands. You understand what I just asked you to talk about. How many of you know that? Now when I do this, so be it. I make what you just said happen to you. Easy. Piece of cake. Now, and all of you, I swear, are going to get it. And it's by your own descriptions. And what is so lovely is, you go, my God, here it is. Oh, my God, it works. Oh, my God. So now, where was I? Oh, yes. So, if that's envy, then we see how heavy humanity weighs upon the influence of us doing something, creating something, and then taking back to the drawing board the same something, and yet building upon it, adding more rooms, more possibilities. And as we do that, our DNA, human DNA, as we're building this paradigm in the brain so that our God will look through the stained glass window, as we build this, secondary consciousness does, what is beginning to happen is your body's DNA. Now, DNA, as you're going to learn by my marvelous teachers, is that secret code. And it only responds to brain change and brain activity. You can diet until you're blue. You are not going to change DNA. You can fast forever. That's about 45 days. You're going to die. Nothing you do will cause DNA to move except your attitude. So now, when we start to build these mansions in our mind, as we begin the work upon them, our DNA starts to change in our body. And it's changing. So what is it doing? New cells are being created with new receptor sites. And those receptor sites are getting ready for some wonderful experience that is about to happen. Because what would it be? Oh my God. If we had a great vision and our observer looks through the vision, but then no matter how it manifests, our hand goes through it, we can't grab it, we can't feel it, we can't taste it, we can't smell it, because our body wasn't prepared. But our body is prepared. Whatever the brain is doing, is DNA is replying. This is consciousness. DNA is energy. You understand? So by the time we're ready, and our God looks through that stained glass window of our brain, and reality is formed, it's going to happen to us. And when it happens, we will have the apparatus in the human body to experience this marvelous opportunity. So when we get to hear this, it blows your mind. Because you think, my God, you know, I always thought this to some degree, but I never thought it out. We do affect things through things called synchronicity. How many of you have experienced synchronicity? You think of someone and the telly rings. You think of someone and you run down to them. Is that precognitive or synchronicity? How about if I just said, whatever you call it, it's meant to be. How does that sound? And everyone is a God. There's no one in here that is so special they can't be one. You understand? Even your refusal and rebuttal is a godlike edict. How many of you agree? So be that. So, then what is the problem? The first order of business is telling you who you are. And the second order of business is showing you that you are that. You can do these marvelous and indeed miraculous things. And the next order of business is to say, so why are you who you are? God, as I know God, only desires us to do one thing. One thing. Make known the unknown. Do you know what that means? Think of something new. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what I just said. So now, who teaches you to do that? This simple little school, and these great teachers that studied under me, and I yelled at them. So when you hear them yelling at you, just think I yell louder. And I'm serious. You'll do field work under them, and then one day you'll do field work under me. And it will be a wholly different experience. Where was I? Oh, yes, I was right here. So these teachers, they're geniuses. These people can do marvelous things. They put their mind on you, something's going to happen to you. Why? This little school is about a small little effort that's starting to grow all over the world. Tested in the fires, a and still is. People turning their back on it like you always do to save your own hide. This little school has stayed aloft. There's a destiny. And the destiny is bigger than any human being here and any human being out there. So, what is the school going to do? It's going to teach you through its disciplines how to create reality. And you're going to marvel at yourself. Perhaps the most mysterious aspect of the discipline is that word called analogical mind. An analogical mind is, well, when you are so utterly that which you are, it is the one thing one cannot see. And when you learn that secret, along with this knowledge, you're going to be able to move out of who you have been. You will have the discipline, you will have the knowledge, you will know how to make greater paradigms of existence, and you will know how to heal yourself. People all over the world are doing it. You will know exactly how to manifest yourself out of lack. Everybody's learning to do that, Mama. Learning what it is not to blame anyone, but to see that the source of our own life, and however we weighed it, that first that this life was a blessing, the fact that you even made it back in a time where women are not having children, when you even made it back to two copulating people, we don't care who they are. We don't care if your mother is a whore. We don't care. Just get here. Please, let the rubber break. We just want to come back. You understand? So in this school, one of the great things you're going to learn, because you have now knowledge and intelligence, you're going to say, it doesn't serve me to think that I should blame my mother and my father for whatever. I'm here. I have a lot of food on my body. My soul is not pierced by their activities. That my soul made me come here because I have done this to someone else. I am my journey. I'm just glad I'm not in hell. Yeah. And here I am. And we're going to learn that we cannot be God and blame mama and papa. And that we can't be God and blame hubby and wife. And that we can't be God and think we own our children. They are not ours to own. We can't cradle them up and send them to Catholic school and let them be abused, brainwashed, focused, and the joy of childhood taken away from them. How many of you agree? So be it. It is not us to do that. An enlightened parent has ingenious children. We give them the schooling and the tools to learn their brain, to manipulate their brain, to read and to write and to do calculus, and they can do it with their eyes closed because they're such great parents. The first thing we get over is this issue of blame and the fact, yes, that your poor, wretched life is their fault. Your poor, wretched life is because you were a wretched human being. Dig it? You think it's bad now is because you made it much, much worse for somebody else before. And how do we know we're a divine being? When the buck stops with us and nobody else. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You may begin. In plain and simple terms, the word is called redemption and forgiveness. And you know that by ancient text that it says, do not judge your neighbor. And when you are enlightened, you understand your neighbor has their soul. Their soul has made them this way. You understand? Just like yours made them your way. And that soul, that is a God on a journey that is being forced. And if life becomes unbearable, it becomes unbearable because we dreamed ourselves into unbearable cruelty. You know what that is? You can be even sophisticatedly cruel. You don't even have to get your hands dirty. You can cruelly suppress the mind of another person. You don't like that? How about making your children feel guilty that you have had to work all of your life to take care of them? How about inflicting upon your parents that horrible burden that they mistreated you? It is horrible enough they had to raise you, you brat. And wondered in their own heart, what did they do? But you have to remind them that until they die. There are levels of cruelty that don't have to spill any blood, but can cause the heart to anguish. And if we are God to cause pictures of unworthiness to occur in another human being's brain, and if we can make them feel unworthy, and we are like vampires, and we feed up off them, then we're going to force them that this life, this gift of God, will be robbed from them. And we're going to suck it out because you are addicted. You talk about addicts. You listen to me. So, addicts can be the most pious looking for sitting next to you. And oftentimes, the more pious they look, the more awful they are. Are you hearing me? How many of you understand? And when these people on large and small scales, you can say, well, look at that. Look at what they're doing to those people. You know, everything is relative in the kingdom of God, of consciousness and energy. If you do this to one person, you are no better than that tyrant doing it to a nation of people. Can you understand me? How many of you understand? So be that. So addiction can be as clean and as ugly and as venomous as a vegetarian diet. Because remember, we're creating reality. If you live by the body, then you want to feed your body so it will give you good thoughts. The glory of God doesn't come through your penis. It comes through your brain. So who's making the decisions on reality here? Is it because when you do this, you are more lofty? Maybe. But who have you persecuted because you are this way? And you made people feel guilty about eating their burgers. Listen, I'm telling you, I have eaten burgers. I think a burger, a fry, and a shake is a delicious thing. And you're going to see how powerful I am. So I'll take my burger against your bird seed. Who do you think is going to win this fight? Everything is how we hook it up in this world. Do you understand? And the reason I'm telling you that is because I want to know that not only do some of you live off cocaine and ecstasy and smack and heroin and marijuana? Do you know what you're doing to your brain? Your computer to God? You're destroying your own life because you don't have the courage to change your life to be something marvelous and beautiful and genius and wonderful. When you use less than a tenth of your brain and you're taking drugs, we can say, you know, I don't know why you're here, but you know, we have 99% of your brain you're not even using. Why don't you just move over here? Make a choice and be this person instead of this person, this loser. should never do anything hurt your brain. Because in a moment, you can know the kingdom of heaven in your brain. This you will learn. This, the advanced group is learning. They can move in their brain oily. And they know that every human being that ever lived and will ever live had the same size brain, the same chemicals, the same piece of property. It's just they used it differently. The advanced group is learning how to move and no longer be what the soul brought them here to be. And in moving, they've owned it all. But anyway, back to addiction. We can have an addiction that we're right. I can send you runners that will prove you're wrong. What are you going to do about that? You need a redemption hit? And how about you are addicted to controlling people? The only way you feel good about your life is to make everybody agree with you. What an awful human being you are. And how about that you are a righteous and holy person? All right, Mama, I'm going to send you a sick person, and I want you to make them get up off their pallet and walk. And you tell them to sin no more. Or maybe you should tell yourself that. You see, addiction is an emotional thing. The reason that you have to go out and find somebody to have sex with is because it's time to do that. Or the reason that you have to go out and you have to create a sad sack story about your poor life and make everybody responsible for you is because you need a little redemption hit. That's no different than anybody, baby, that's stoking. That's no different than anybody that's mainlining. The moment that you crush somebody and then get redemption from it, you are mainlining. Ooh. Ooh. And the moment that you use somebody for their body, you have lost your soul. And that's redemption too. Because if you just look at a piece of ass and you don't even think about the soul and the God that's in it, it's just a piece of ass. How far have you come? And what does it take for you to be redeemed? So let's please don't play this piety card. And you know, you wouldn't be starving yourself to death unless you thought that somebody was going to think you're really something. And you are addicted to that too. Addiction in human cultures takes on an ominous name, but it is a brand that you wear of what you are. So the next time that you take your pleasure in condemning somebody because they are alcoholic or they are a drug addict or they're ruining their life, yes, but let's look at you. You sleep with your wife, you think of other people. You beat down men so that you feel you're a genius. The only way you can feel better about yourself is to beat down same men on the same level, and then you feel you've won. What was the cost of victory? Humiliating someone else. Ooh, rotten, stinky, bad eggs. And you know what? You all do it. And how about your hairdo? Is it better than somebody else's? Do you think you are the way, the path, and the truth? Yes. But the way, the path, and the truth of Christ, is it the way, the path, and the truth of your own choice and your own addictions? So how does one own that in one's brain? Well, let me just tell you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. You already had your emotions set from the time of your childhood puberty as late as 32, I like to say 28. You already explored every emotion that you can in the first three seals. And did you know that after that, there's this old saying, there's never anything as beautiful as the first love. And in a sense, there isn't. Because the first passion you will spend the rest of your life getting people to duplicate it. You already have all your emotions.